Lord, take my mind now and think through me. Take my heart and love through me. Take my lips and speak through me your words to teach and touch our hearts, that we may glorify you in our lives, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Every year we gather on the Sunday nearest to the 11th of November to remember our war dead. It began after World War I, but has obviously included all the conflicts ever since, both our service personnel and our civilians. We also come to thank God that we were not defeated by Germany in World War I, nor were we overtaken by the sheer evil of Nazi Germany in World War II. In an ideal world, war wouldn't happen. But it's not an ideal world. It's a fallen world in which evil exists, and good and evil are constantly at war. If you need reminding that evil is still at large, just look at the evil inflicted by Mr. Putin on Ukraine. Basically, because Mr. Putin wants a submissive buffer state between the West and Russia. Thousands have been killed on both sides. It goes on, and thousands are still being killed on both sides. And look at the unspeakable, hideous actions of the Arab terrorists running amok in southern Israel on the 7th of October. Unspeakable acts. That was just pure, unadulterated evil. Now, the ultimate source of all evil in this world is Satan. That's his Hebrew name, and in Hebrew this means adversary. His Greek name, devil, means slanderer. He's not flesh and blood, he's spirit. He's invisible to us. We can't see him. He can attack us from any direction, just as he chooses, and we can be unaware until it happens. We have no natural weapon with which to detect him or to counter him. Which is why St. Paul told the Ephesian Christians, and through them tells us, to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. We're only looking at three parts of the armor of God today, those relating to truth, to righteousness, and peace. Don't we long to hear truth over lies? Don't we long for righteousness to prevail over evil? And don't we long for peace, not just no fighting peace, but peace in its fullest possible sense of well-being and good health and wholeness? So let's begin with the belt of truth. Paul wrote, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Strictly speaking, a belt, of course, is not a piece of armor. Never has been. But it was nonetheless essential, especially for a Roman soldier, because he had a fairly loose-fitting garment, and to have a belt around his waist stopped it from flapping and from getting in the way. Soldiers today tend not to have flappy clothing, but they do have a haversack and all sorts of other equipment attached and secured by their belt. So the belt is a very important piece. In fact, it's essential. In terms of spiritual armor, Paul calls it the belt of truth. And because it's buckled around our waist, it means we're surrounded, it surrounds us. So we are to be surrounded by truth, both within and without. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus at his trial, "What is truth?" Well, we can answer that question here in two ways. First, the truth of the gospel. In other words, the truth of God revealed first in the Holy Scriptures and then in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Only this truth surrounding us can dispel the devil's lies and keep us free. And then secondly, the truth of integrity, total honesty in all our dealings with each other, and total honesty before God. Psalm 51 and verse 6 tells us that the Lord desires truth in the inward parts, and indeed cultivating truth counters the devil's deceits. We don't have to choose between these two meanings of truth, because both apply here, both apply. You cannot believe the truth of the gospel and not cultivate your own integrity. And if we do fail to develop our integrity, then you've not believed or received the truth of the gospel. Which brings us to the breastplate of righteousness. And Paul wrote, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, some commentators hold that the spiritual breastplate includes no protection for the back. And so it is in the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Bunyan has his hero, Christian, facing a foul fiend coming across the field towards him. And remembering that he had no armor on his back, he decided he'd better stand his ground and face the fiend rather than turn back, which is a good point in spiritual counsel, but a rather doubtful example of biblical exegesis, because a soldier's breastplate often included protection for his back so that all his vital organs were protected. And again, we have two possible meanings of righteousness here. More often than not, righteousness in Paul's letters means the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he gives to us when God in his grace has put us into a right relationship with himself through Jesus Christ. Why do we need to be given righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Basically, because nobody in this world can say, I'm good enough. None of us can say, I'm good enough. I'm good enough to go to heaven. I don't need to do such and such and so and so. However hard we try, we cannot be good enough. So, in fact, all our good deeds, everything we try to do, is like filthy rags, the Bible tells us. The other possible meaning here of righteousness is our own inadequate moral righteousness. Paul certainly uses this sense of righteousness elsewhere. And it's so important that we conduct our lives in a righteous manner. It's so important, both for our conscience sake, that's important, but also to give the devil no way to get at us through other people. And again, as with the belt of truth, we should take both these meanings of righteousness for our spiritual breastplate. And then lastly, we have what I call gospel boots. In fact, Paul wrote, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Paul is clearly thinking about boots. He had in mind the protective, supportive footwear of the Roman soldier, the caliga, the half boot, made of leather, but left the toes free, with a heavy studded sole. It didn't impede his mobility, but it prevented his feet from sliding. So the Roman soldier was ready on steady ground for any situation. So what of our spiritual boots? Well, yet again, there are two possible legitimate understandings of the word readiness in this verse. The Christian soldier's boots are his readiness at all times to share the gospel of peace with other people. We should always be ready to bear witness to our Lord Jesus Christ as God's peacemakers. And the other meaning is, if we've believed and received the gospel, we enjoy peace with God and with one another, which that brings. And then we have the firmest possible foothold from which to withstand and to fight evil. In both cases, our tiptoe readiness has a stabilizing influence on our spiritual lives, which the devil would love to wreck. Because the devil hates and fears the gospel. Why? Because it's God's power to rescue people from the devil's tyranny. And so we need to keep both boots, spiritual boots, firmly on our feet to grasp righteousness, the righteousness he gives us, and to conduct our lives in a righteous manner, and to believe and trust in the truth of the gospel, and be honest in all things, all the time. Amen.